Today we have an awesome film called Listen to Me. Director Rob Ayling is here. I probably got it wrong already, but I usually do. All the way from England. I'm very excited. I get to hear your cool accent. You can hear my crazy Canadian accent. And we're good to go. So how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I don't know if I've really got really much of an accent, really. I mean, I'm from East London, so, is there really a very distinctive accent there?
It is to us crazy Canadians, absolutely, because we're obsessed with anything British, so we're just going to have
Okay. Right, of course.
Unless you're Australian, then you move up a level. That's probably the only other thing we like more than British and Australian.
Right.
Because we're sick of the U.S., we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think we may share that same feeling, but the last time I was actually in America was actually in January, and it was around the time of the inauguration, so it was kind of an awkward time, actually, the last time I was in America, so, but let's not dwell on that, but yeah.
So what's your film called Listen to Me, it's a short.
Yes, that's right.
Have you been touring the short? Where can I find the short? Where can people find the short? Give me some background about it.
Okay, so people can find the short film on Vimeo under the name Listen to Me, of course. And you can also now, officially, as of yesterday, you can now watch it on Amazon Video in both the UK and in the US.
We don't have Amazon Video yet.
Oh, do you not?
We do not. Which nobody believes me, but we really don't.
Oh, wow, okay. I would have thought that would have been the case. Then the only way you can pretty much watch it is on Vimeo. So if you search Listen to Me on Vimeo, you'll find it there.
Awesome. I think that's a great place. Now, why a short as opposed to a feature length or a micro short?
Well, just a little bit of background into the short film itself. So I went to film school back in 2013, and I went to the Met Film School, and that's based in Ealing Studios. I'm sure you've heard of Ealing Studios. It's got a very rich history of...
I actually have not.
Oh, okay. So Ealing Studios is a very famous film studio in England where they made some of the most famous Ealing comedies, and the most recent films that they made there with things like Notting Hill, Shaun of the Dead,
D-O-N, I got it.
Yeah.
I know the studio.
Oh, no, Ealing. E-A-L-I-N-G, so Ealing. But yeah, they recently did the Bradley Cooper film Burnt there as well.
Yes?
Yeah, but... it wasn't the best, no. It wasn't the best, no.
I apologize.
Yes, of course. But, yeah, so I went to film school there, and as part of my master's graduation project, we had to make a short film for our dissertation. And Listen to Me is basically that dissertation graduation film. And I started production on that film in around August of 2014, maybe a little bit earlier. I remember now. It was around June 2014 that I actually started writing the script, and by September and October time, we were starting to film the short film. And yeah, I mean, given the circumstances, it was more in the guidelines that we had to make a short film. Having said that, if someone were to turn around to me and say, Rob, do you want to make Listen to Me into a feature film? I would definitely, absolutely consider the possibility of that, because I do think the film has potential to be a feature film. And I think even more so, say, that the first 10 minutes of the film, as people will see, could be the opening for a feature film. I mean, I don't know if you'll agree or not, but that's what I think, anyway.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. I thought it was. Now, since you just brought up the beginning of the film, I do have a couple questions before I go into the actual film, if that's okay?
That's absolutely fine.
Okay, great. The main actress, I guess, the woman that lived next door to the other couple?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Is she a film student?
No, she's a working actress. Her name is Jessica Hales, and She works a lot in theatre. She works. She does a lot of Shakespeare work. She did an all-female production of Macbeth recently. I think it was Macbeth, or it might have been Hamlet. I'm not quite sure. But I would say the most prolific thing that she's done was being in Doctor Who. I think it was the Doctor when Matt Smith was the Doctor.
Yeah.
Was it Matt Smith? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and then by that point, she was doing small short film roles, and then I discovered Jessica at my film school where she was. We were doing casting sessions. We were doing like casting class sessions, and I was camera operating one of the sessions, and she happened to be one of the actresses coming in, and I noticed straight away how good she was. And I remember saying to myself at that moment, you know, I don't know what project it's going to be, but I feel like I know that sooner rather than later that we're going to be working on something together. I just don't know what the project could be. And then when I got the script of Listen to Me Together, I just imagined her completely in the role. And I remember contacting her and saying, look, I know this might sound crazy, but we were doing those casting sessions a few months ago, and I know that while writing this script that you'd be perfect for the role. Would you please, you know, come along for an audition for it? And she read the script, and she really appreciated what the film was trying to do, and she had a connection with the subject matter in particular, so that also very much helped her decision to go forth with and come along the journey with this film as well. But yeah, I think she's absolutely fantastic in the film. And yeah, I mean, there's not much really more I can say apart from the fact that she's brilliant.
I have to agree with you. I thought she was a very strong lead for your film. Like, I thought for a student actress, because I'm thinking student at the time, that she was very good. So now I know that she's a professional working actress. That makes a big difference. Now, the people across the hall, I wouldn't say as polished as her.
Well, they too are professional actors as well. So the guy who plays Jason, Simeon Willis, he's a... an up-and-rising UK-based actor. So he was in the he was in a feature film called Narcopolis, which did pretty well in the film festival circuit. And I think he's in a film festival circuit now with a new film, which is doing relatively well. But the his wife in the film, Sarah Warren, is a very well-known actress from Canada. In fact,
I feel bad, didn't know who she was.
Oh no, she's no well. She's very good, and funny enough, she happens to be one of the tutors. Well, she does. She no longer teaches, unfortunately, but she taught at the Met Film School, and she taught script supervising. She taught acting for screen and elements of directing as well. And for me. It was like, because I saw a lot of a mentor in her. So in many ways, she actually did teach me a lot while making the film. And we had a very good director-actor relationship on set and outside of the set as well. We've become very good friends ever since, in fact. And she's gone on to do something very successful with her career. She's mainly more focusing on her directing work now. But she still has time to do a lot of acting work as well. Well, so
it must have been your directing that convinced me that these actors were working perfectly for the script provided. I was very impressed. Like I said, oh, maybe they're student actors, but they're all good. Like,
yeah.
I'm not looking at them going, oh, they're bad. So I want to start off with your film. You start off with an elevator shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you shoot the actor from behind. Like, usually when we have an elevator shot, we might get a shot of the face.
Right.
Now, was there a reason for that, shooting from the back to start?
Funny enough, I mean, this might sound very strange, but for me, I've always had this intrigue of having the opening shot of the film kind of symbolize something in some way. For me, the opening of the doors of the elevator is almost like you're entering the world of the film with her. So it's almost like, from our perspective, seeing the back of her, it's like we're behind her following that journey with her. Even though we don't track behind her, or follow behind her with the camera, so to say, we're actually moving in with her as she's moving into the property herself. So that, for me, is why I chose along. It was both my decision and the director of photography's decision to film from that way. We did alternatively film from the front, but then ultimately when we got to the edit, we were just like, no, we were right with our instincts in the first place, and we opened the film that way.
Now, because you have no talking for like the first 3 to 4 minutes, I would say, but you put a music accompaniment underneath.
Yes, that's right.
Now, was that just to give the listener, the viewer, something to watch other than her walking down the hall before she talks? Because we even don't see her face that well when she's going in the door. You really don't show me her face until she's inside the apartment for the first time.
I mean, you see, I think it's a little bit sooner that you see her face is when she meets Jason in the corridor.
I see half of her face. She's kind of hidden by the box still.
Oh, yes, yeah. I think in terms of that music, it was really more of a way, again, to signal to the audience that this is a film where, I mean, pardon the title, but it, Listen to Me, is almost in a way to signal to the audience that this is a film much more about listening than, I mean, both viewing it but also listening to it as well. I'll just quickly say that one of the influences of the film, which is quite similar in the way it does this as well, is Francis Ford Coppola's The Conversation.
Phenomenal film. Phenomenal. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's for me, it's a masterpiece.
I agree.
It's an absolute masterpiece in filmmaking, and to me it epitomises modern-day filmmaking in that, yes, film is a visual form, but 70% of your films nowadays is based on sound design. An audience engagement can be altered and distracted just by one terrible sound bite. And if that sound bite is not good enough, or if it's really badly done, like, so many people would say that this is a student film in most regards, because it was made at film school and it went, it came out of film school. But I was very certain to make sure that this wasn't categorized as a student short film, because many people say, oh, how do you see a student short film? Well, usually they've got terrible sound or something like that. That's something that we get over here, mind. But I was very, very cautious to make sure that we had perfect sound design on this and perfect music in this as well. So I wanted to invite the audience there with the music from there on as well.
I think you did a great job. Like, I really felt the music helped. So I just wanted to ask these questions. I'm always interested in how filmmakers make things. That's what I'm getting there.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
I just wanted you to know that this is your praise. I'm giving it to you. I don't think this looks like a student film. I want you to know that.
No, thank you. I really appreciate that. I really wanted to make sure that it wasn't.
I do have one question. Being Canadian, maybe I wouldn't recognize. Is that like a real apartment complex? Like, it looked very tight, like student quarters.
It's actually an apartment block in London. It's typically what you would see in like northeast London or southwest London. So it's actually a typical apartment like block building.
I thought because she goes up in the elevator, I'm presuming she's going to school. That was my thing. Like, she's moving into a dorm. Obviously, that's not the case.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that watching the opening shot. Because, I mean, I only have the title. I don't know anything about your film, so I'm just saying that's what I was going with. Now, there's a couple of scenes. The dog barking. Is that a real dog or is it added?
Oh, it's added. No, it has added.
I was almost positive. I said, I'm going to ask, because you had the fireworks, and the fireworks had to be added too, I guess.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. We had a wonderful editor on the film, Julia Hostetler, who's from Canada as well, actually. She's Canadian as well. She was the editor and VFX artist, and she did, again, a wonderful job. And
they look real.
This is her first time. That was the first film she did where she did visual effects on Windows, TVs, computers, and, you know, phones and stuff. So, for something, I was very, pleased with that. And I think, again, our partnership worked really well in that as well.
Okay, I'm going to go back to the film.
Yep.
The lead, okay, what does the lead do? Because I really don't know. Because she has all this beautiful sound equipment.
Right.
Just sitting around, and she had that thing to listen at the door. Now, when she first gets up, she listens to the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm thinking, does she not realize she has that other piece of equipment there, or she's just curiosity kills the cat, you know what I mean? It's more like, what's going on outside?
So in answer to your first point, she is, in fact, a musicologist.
Okay. Explain.
Okay.
I don't know
it's never really addressed. You're right. It isn't actually addressed at all, unless you read the log line for the film.
I like to go in cold, so I don't read any spoilers or anything.
No, that's fine. I welcome that. I think that's quite healthy, actually.
I don't even watch trailers, so I couldn't even tell you what a trailer looks like anymore, because I watched them afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
And it upsets me so much how many filmmakers give away too much, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you.
It's been about 10 years, maybe 15, since I've seen the trailer.
Oh, really?
I do not watch anything.
Wow, I very much applaud you for that.
I am hardcore. Like, I just watched Thor Ragnarok, and I couldn't tell you what the film was even about, other than I deal with the director.
Right.
And so I go in cold and everything.
Okay.
So, I'm just weird that way.
Like you said that.
I just prefer it. So go back to your thing. So musicologist. Okay, I didn't know. Cause I'm like, I wonder what she does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think maybe at one point we probably had a line where she said she did that, but it just wasn't really relevant because at the end of the day, we're showing the fact that she is into sound recording, she's into sound equipment. You don't really need to establish the title there.
Oh, I agree. You don't need to tell me what she does. I'm just interested.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think you did that. Okay, and then she's listening at the door. She hears something interesting. And then the cops are at the door, but they're not shown.
Yes.
Is that to hide the lead actor, the other actress in the film? Because we don't meet her until the end. So are you trying to hide something there?
Well, interesting enough, I mean, I won't go into full lengths of it, but there were previous drafts in which there may have been a certain twist element to the story.
Okay.
So, but once it came down to doing the final draft, I decided that what was more important to me was the responsibility of telling the story, and especially a story about domestic violence, in an appropriate way. And I didn't feel it was necessary to go down a road where you needed a certain twist to make the film more, you know, impactful. Because already the film, in my opinion, is impactful the way it is.
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't want to tarnish the subject that I want to bring across, because it's a delicate subject matter. People have experienced it in many ways, and for us as an audience member, we're watching Listen to Me from the perspective of Eleanor as an eavesdropper. In many ways, that's what moviegoers are. In many ways, are eavesdroppers. We eavesdrop into the world of a film. So that is something I wanted to bring across, not the idea of, oh, it's a twist within a twist kind of thing. And for me, staying with Eleanor was more important than seeing what was on the other side of the door. And I think you'll agree, as Martin Scorsese once said, sometimes it's not what you show, it's what you don't show that scares an audience.
Oh, I have to agree with you. Everything you're saying, I agree. I think we'd get along really well. I thought it was a very wise choice not to show the cops.
Yeah.
And I think most people would have showed that scene.
Yes.
So I thought it was a good scene to skip. I just like to question you, why you do this? Why are you looking at that?
Of course. Yeah, no,
so
I'm
was there any
that.
Shots with the cops? That scene was never filmed. It was always done that way?
I tried to make sure that the actors were playing the moment as truthful as possible. So we actually did have a friend of mine play the policeman on the other side of the door. And we had Sarah and Simeon, who played Jason, on the other side of the door, and we just filmed from Jessica's perspective.
Right.
to what she's really hearing on the other side of the door is really what's going on the other side of the door.
Right, okay.
I really wanted to make sure that she was playing the moment as real as possible. Okay. So no ADR, as it were.
Right. How long did it take you to shoot this? I forgot to ask you that long.
The whole entire film?
Yes.
3 days.
Oh, wow, that's quick then. That was good. And editing?
I think editing it took about a month, because we also had the VFX and color grade and sound design. The sound design took a little bit longer than it anticipated, because, again, wanted to make sure it was perfect.
I only have a couple more questions about your film. When she hears the first issue, and she's listening at the door, and she didn't feel, and then at the end of the film, she hears a big ruckus. I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to quite spoil the whole thing.
Yeah.
Why didn't she call the cops at that point? Because they did nothing the first time?
Well, if you're talking about the absolute final moment...
Yes, the final scene, that's where I'm at.
Well, she does pick up her phone.
Oh, I missed that, then that was my bad.
Oh, okay, she does pick up the phone to call somebody, but then in that moment, she hears another scream, and as an instinct for a human being, what would be the next thing you would do? You'd think possibly it may be... To either you think, okay, it's too late, maybe I should stay on the phone. But in that one act of instinct, Eleanor chooses, and then I won't reveal, but yeah.
Yeah, I want people to know the ending. I want them to see the ending when it happens.
Of course.
Because I think it's, yeah. I like the ending. So, I don't know, you're saying it's an instinctual thing. I agree, but some people may call the number because they're uncomfortable. I mean, that's a big choice as a writer. You're making Eleanor a brave person at that point.
Absolutely.
Like, you're making that choice that she's going to be proactive, and then we can't say everybody would be proactive in that scene.
Well, again, that's something that the audience can ask themselves when they're watching it, because ultimately that's what I want them to do, is ask themselves in that situation, if you heard something that was going on, what would you do?
Yeah, exactly. I probably follow Eleanor's lead, because that's who I am.
Yeah.
Because I know the person across from the door, because I think that's been explained early, like he seemed very nice to her at the beginning scene.
Yes.
So he must have seen her a few times now, both the people. So she feels comfortable going over there. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If it was me and you and I don't really know you, I can't say I would go over, if that makes any sense.
No, that's absolutely... I know what you mean. Because, well, it's kind of like the bystander thing, isn't it?
Yes.
You stay out of people's privacy because it's none of your business.
Well, that's the way I look at things, yes.
But, thinking it from this perspective, if you... Again, it's one of those... that's why I'm hoping that it does come across in the film. It's another question of what is right and what is wrong. And if you were in a moment where you did see something terribly wrong happening, you know... Most people would say, the half and half thing. Most people would say, you'd go out and help, wouldn't you? But then there's that instinct back in your mind that's like, well, no, why should I? Why should I put myself on the line for that?
Well, okay, let's say I've gone over to help. I've opened the door, and I see what I see.
Yes.
That's a big difference now.
Yeah.
Like, now I've gone over to help who I think I need to help, but I'm not helping the right person, I guess. I'm trying to delicately go around something. That's what I'm saying. Because now you put yourself in a bigger situation.
Absolutely.
Is Eleanor victim number two?
Yeah.
Like, I know, I mean, and how was your response? I mean, since you said this was your graduate thesis, or your master's thesis, you have to show it to the class, or just the professor sees it?
To everyone. We had a screening at the Prince Charles Cinema in London, Leicester Square, and it was in front of the whole school, the professors as well. I'll never forget the reaction, actually, because there was an applause. I mean, everyone applauded everyone's film, so that was one thing.
As a filmmaker, you're watching your film, you're comparing it to everybody else's film. Whether you want to tell me that or not, I would be.
So in that moment,
you can gauge the reaction. You can feel it because I mean, there's this kind of clapping, then there's like, yes, that was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that as a filmmaker.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. There was applause, and my friend who I was sat next to just put his hand on my arm and just said, "Thank you, like, well done."
Oh, that's what you want, and you know you made something good.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But then there were some others at the screening who felt that the film is basically saying this is only the choice that you can take. And I'm not saying that whatsoever. I'm saying this is a choice. This could be a choice.
Yes, we just discussed that.
Yeah.
That was that character's motivation. As we said, we're watching a period of this person's life, this character's life. And that was their choice. That may not be the other person's choice, but you made that choice, and that's fine.
Absolutely. But then it creates such an interesting debate, like we're having right now. Well, it's not really a debate, but it's a discussion about
yes,
it.
Yes, absolutely.
That's, again, what I want to make sure that people, when they watch the film, they can start asking those questions themselves and discussing it with others. I've taken this film to quite a few film festivals, and, again, the same question comes up. You know, why this choice? Why, you know, if I was in this position, I probably wouldn't do that. But then part of me says, why don't I do that? And it, again, that's the intention.
Good. I think you hit it. Perfect. You did a great job then. What's your reaction to like at festivals? How you've been treated? What's going on? You know, I just like to know.
I'll be honest. I've been very overwhelmed by the festival circuits because... my only previous experience of film festivals was where I entered a film which was part of the challenge and we ended up winning the challenge, and that was even overwhelming in itself. And then no other experience of going to a festival after that until July of the very next year. So the film debuted at the East End Film Festival in July of 2015, and for me that was a special moment for me in particular because... it premiered at a cinema that I pretty much grew up with in East London. I used to go to it's the Genesis Cinema. And it was a cinema I used to go to as a kid all the time. And then being an adult with this film, being screened there in that moment of like, okay, this is very surreal. Because normally I'd be watching something like, like a special screening of like a Rear Window or a special screening or even a theatrical screening of like a Pixar movie or whatever. And here I am sat in one of my favorite cinemas and I'm seeing this short film being screened along with another selection of short films. I just feel very proud at that moment. And it was very overwhelming.
Oh,
and
I would feel the same way.
Sorry?
I would feel the same way. I think you must be like, I made it.
Yeah.
Like you finally did it.
In many ways, yeah, you do feel like that. And then when the other festival circuits come in, because, I do feel proud of this. And I'm more so proud of the team as well, because we did it as such a collaborative effort. But the fact that we got into two BAFTA qualifier film festivals as well, and we were able to submit the film to BAFTA for a nomination, was just a thrill as well. I mean, for me... having the film screened at the festivals was good enough, but the fact that we were able to submit it to the British Academy was just wonderful. And
I'm gonna ask,
you know, very overwhelming as well.
Did you get on the short list or anything for the British Academy?
I'm afraid not, no.
Okay. I'm sorry, I had to ask.
Sorry?
I'd be wrong if I didn't ask you.
No, of course. But, you know... at the end of the day, you might as well give it a shot because you never know. But, you know, we worked hard enough to get to that point, so we tried. But again, we, beyond the film festival selections, you know, it went online, of course, but we screened it at domestic violence conferences as well. Again, we have many women, many men, coming up to us afterwards, questioning about the choices of certain things that happen, but also, and again, this can be quite overwhelming at times as well, but people also messaging saying, like, I was Eleanor, or I was Sarah, or even more so, I was Jason once. I was that abusive character at one time or another, and I want to say I'm first of all sorry, but also thankful for you for making this, because it is something that needs to be addressed. Well, so, yeah.
I'm just saying, you're getting such wonderful, positive messages, and you get one from me saying, hey, can I see your film? And I don't have anything exciting to say.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we've discussed everything about the film, other than my favorite question. How is catering? Is always my favorite question.
How is catering? So because I made it, probably terrible. it was okay. I mean, I'm all about doing healthy food. So we had plenty of, like, pasta salads, general salads, and sandwiches, you know. And on the last day, I did treat the crew and the actors to pizzas, because, again, it was a very difficult shoot, because, again, for the actors, staying in the moment for certain sequences, especially for the final sequence, which I won't reveal, but I made sure that I treated everybody to a really decent meal. And plus, at the end of the day, a lot of people working on the film, some of them were working as in getting paid to work there, but some people did work for free, so giving them a decent meal is very fair, I think. Even more so, even if they were getting paid as well, you have to treat them to a decent meal. Because you can have is go on a film set and you're just given just not really the best food possible, really. And the options, you have to give them options. Always give them options, I say.
Okay, I have nothing else to ask you. I don't know if you have anything else to add, but I do have two fun questions for you.
Okay.
If you're ready, you're at the cinema. What do you order?
What do I order?
And you're a healthy person, so I can't hear popcorn. I know that.
Oh, see, I am healthy, but I'm not that healthy. So I actually am quite greedy. I have salt and sweet mixed together.
Oh, so like
I do. So I do. I can never make up my mind.
So
and that sounds really silly.
So we're thinking of small popcorn, big popcorn, large popcorn.
Oh no! If I'm gonna put it this way, it's only an extra 20p for a medium or a large. So I'm gonna enjoy my time at the cinema, if I'm watching, see, funny enough, I only have popcorn when I'm watching Hollywood, like blockbusters.
I would feel the same way.
This is going to sound so hypocritical, but I hate watching, like, films that I really want to see. So, if, for example, I watched recently Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe film with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's really good. It's really well edited, done. And there is sequences where it's, you know, they're all quiet and they're played out through silence. And the worst thing you can hear is someone chewing on popcorn in that moment, and you're like, come on.
So
whereas when you're watching a Hollywood blockbuster, like, say, Thor Ragnarok, there's so many explosions and Hulk shouting and saying, Hulk smash this and Hulk smash that. No one's going to be bothered that you're just munching on popcorn
so
and hear you. So that's my logic to it. So
I think we do need to go to a screening of Light Between Two Oceans and find out who's chewing popcorn through it.
Yeah.
There's where I'd be like, you can't eat in this film. It's such a quiet film all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, next one's kind of like a two-part question. Favorite film?
Sorry, say that again?
Your favorite film?
Oh, my favorite film.
You can pick a few, it's fine. I like hearing people's answers.
Okay, this may surprise you. So there's two parts, technically, to that answer. So my favorite film in terms of filmmaking, and the one that I would say has challenged me as a filmmaker to kind of say, do you know what, I wish I could make something like that. Christopher Nolan's Memento.
Great film.
I think that movie is just incredible in terms of a filmmaking scale. In terms of story, in terms of acting, it's really good as well. But on the level of immersive experience and engaging audiences into a film, Memento by far. However, when push to shove and someone says to me, Rob, what is your favourite film of all time? Again, this will surprise you. My favourite film is Toy Story.
I'll let you in on a secret that even my listeners don't know.
Okay.
I have a gigantic Toy Story poster in my basement.
Oh.
Where I'm sitting right now, framed, on my wall. Okay. I have an original movie Toy Story poster.
Oh, that's amazing.
Because I'm a Toy Story junkie.
I've seen Toy Story
25 times.
Oh, yes. To me, most people, when you ask them, like, some of their favourite films and stuff, some people, like, it depends on who you ask, really, because for my mother, her favourite film is Mary Poppins, and, you know, perfectly simple in many ways, yeah. You know, I think that's the line from the film.
Yes, but that's what it is.
For me, when someone says to me, if you could name a movie that you could rewatch again and again and again, that you think is perfection, for me, it is Toy Story. It is the first film I ever saw at the cinema, first of all. So it does have very big sentimental value.
It is the film that kind of made me think
at that time. I mean, again, I was very young, but I said, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do for my future. I want to be able to do that. I want to make films. Obviously, I didn't say that at a very young age, but as I gradually got older, I realized films was what I meant. I think what I probably said was, I want to be Buzz Lightyear, but that's not But the point is there.
It makes you feel better. Both my daughters have seen all the Toy Story films in cinema.
Oh, amazing.
I've taken them both to see it, because I said, look, I don't care if you guys, you've got to watch these films. I think they're perfect.
Absolutely.
So
I agree.
Wow, you might have answered my next question. Sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Okay. It's Friday night. Your buddies are over. You're going to pick a DVD to watch. What's it going to be? Because I know you're not putting Toy Story on for them.
Oh. See, this is one of those annoying ones. Because, I said, you know what? It's easy. Ghostbusters.
Oh, wow. Ghostbusters. Great choice.
We always watch Ghostbusters. Because I think we know it off by heart by now. Like, we must do.
And not Ghostbusters 2, right? Just Ghostbusters.
Oh, no, just Ghostbusters. And I'm talking the 1984 one.
I didn't think you were putting on the new one.
Although, if I'm honest, I didn't think it was as bad as everyone made it out to be.
I thought it was okay. I thought Liam Hemsworth, whichever the Hemsworth brother was, Chris, was in it. It was good.
Yeah, Chris, I think, yeah.
He made me laugh. I think the script needed a little bit more ghosts in it and stuff, if I would have worked, cut the cameos.
Yeah, I mean, I'm completely with you. I thought it was okay, and Chris Hemsworth was pretty funny in it, but I felt like the film was trying to be two things. One was the all-female Ghostbusters, which, when it worked, was really working. I think the four ladies in the film do a really good job, but then it's also trying to homage the first film with similar plot traits.
Right, and didn't need to. That was the problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
Be its own thing. I agree with you.
Do its own thing, and it would have stood out even more. That's what I think they should have done, but, yeah.
Well, that's all my questions. I hope they were okay for you. Do you have anything to add? Do you have anything upcoming? This is a great time to tell everyone.
Okay, so I recently wrote a Batman script. This is something I've been wanting to do for quite a while. It won the Fan Fiction Festival Awards in October for Best Screenplay, which was great. It's a very short piece. It's called Living in Crime Alley. You can check that out on YouTube. If you type in Living in Crime Alley, Batman Fan Fiction readout, it should be there. If not, you can follow it on my website, which is robayling.wixsite.com, and you can find the link there also. I am also developing a new short film in the works, because I've actually been doing quite a few short films recently. I did 2 60-hour film challenges in 1 month, and it was exhausting. It was exhausting. We actually became finalists at this year's Comic-Con in London with the film that we made in 60 hours. And was well received. We didn't win, unfortunately, but you know, it was well received nonetheless. But we're now working on a new short film, in the same sort of genre, so in a thriller drama, and I'm hoping to use that short film as a way to get people interested in potentially a feature film version of that as well. And I'm also working on a comedy drama feature film as well, which is a little bit different from my usual work, but I'm confident that it's gonna be made, and hopefully you'll be hearing more of what I can do, and in not only short film form, but in feature film form.
Well, thank you for all the information. Thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I certainly did, and you were awesome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.